Read beginning in verse 13. Our text verse will be verse 17. So if I could invite you to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word today, if you're able to do so, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not," that is, don't be afraid, Zacharias, "for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John," speaking of John the Baptist. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and in power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let us pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that you have showed us today what a loving Father should be all about. Although, God, I know that we could never live up to the perfection that you have bestowed, and still, Lord, still continue to shine before us, God, that light that we're to be. Lord, we stand in awe of the fact, dear God, that you make ready for us every day to stand and face whatever battles that we may face, that you go before us. That, God, you fight the battles that we have to fight sometimes, the trials and the temptations, the hurts, the pain that we often carry. And through it all, we're reminded of your great love. What a great Father you are. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you proved your love on the cross of Calvary, that we can know you as Savior. Many in this room stand ready to meet you when that day comes, because they've invited you in their heart. But Lord, for that one that is here that's not ready, may, Father, their heart be tender to the truth and be open to the truth today. For Lord, it's what you came for. You proved your love for us. God, help us not to turn away, but help us to respond what you'd have us to have this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The angel Gabriel, the scripture says here in our text, appeared to Zacharias, the priest, to tell him about his son that would soon be born, to tell him about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. That John the Baptist was going to have a tremendous ministry, to the point that some even thought he was the Messiah. And part of that ministry we see it described in verse 17, and that is to turn the hearts of fathers to the children. Somehow Father's Day doesn't seem quite as important as Mother's Day. Have you noticed that? Now it may only be a marketing ploy to sell more greeting cards. But I would like to address those of us in particular who are fathers here today. Now, obviously, this message is for all. We can all relate to it, but not just fathers, but men as well that may not necessarily be a dad. But those who are fathers who still have children at home, I'm sure there's a lot that you are still learning as a dad, and things that maybe you, like those of us who have dads or who are dads who are now empty nests, you look back and you think, well, if I could go back and do a few things differently, I would have done. You know, this is a very important time to be a father, this time that we live in. I think of my own kids, those who have children. And I look at the times that we live in and the importance of being a mom or dad. That role has gotten heavier. It's a little more difficult, I believe, because of society and the changes that we see that's going on around us and the temptations that come at us from every realm. I can't imagine being a dad and having to battle against cell phones today, social media today, trying to teach your kids. You know, there's a lot of things that my parents taught us to be careful of, but there's so many ways now that kids, that Satan can get in the minds of our children. And it's important for dads to stand up and be a dad, to be a father. The children born between 1980 and 1996 represents 1/4 of America's population. Now, why do I mention that? Because this is the generation that's called the millennials. You've heard about the millennials. Well, the millennials is that group that really has made a big influence in our society. It was known that they were going to do so. Now, in some ways, there have been some positive influences. In some ways, it hadn't been so positive. Now, if you are a dad, some of them have lived in your house, but maybe not, because many millennials do not live with their fathers. You see, at any given time, nearly 1/3 of all children 18 and under do not live in the same home with their fathers, and less than half spend their entire childhood with both of their parents. You see, fathers are supposed to provide for the material needs of their families, right? We'd all agree with that. Now, this, by the way, I will tell you up front, the preaching I'm about to do today goes against society on the outside world. It's not popular, but it's biblical. You see, fathers are supposed to provide for the material needs of their families. They're supposed to teach the difference between right and wrong, and to show what it means to be gentle as well as strong. Fathers, more than anyone else, teach their sons what it means to be men, and their daughters what it means to be willing. You see, millennials have been raised in a world without absolutes. And really, to be honest with you, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the generation that raised them. And sadly, that falls in my generation. Now, that doesn't mean they're excused from doing right. But when you don't raise your children with absolutes, then what are they going to do? They're going to do what we see today taking place. That, and by the way, I'm not putting all of those that were born in that time period, don't make it sound like think that I'm trying to make them sound bad, because not all have, many in that group have turned out to be some great leaders. Many have turned out to be great leaders. Not all. And that happens with most any generation, of course. But we know that the millennials have been raised in a world, though, without absolutes. Although they have some interest in spiritual things, they have little or no interest in organized religion. Because, you see, they've been trained to be suspicious of anyone who claims to know the truth. Listen to these sobering statistics. While 60% of their grandparents, 40% of their parents, and even 25% of the older siblings claim to be Christians, listen, only 4% of the millennial generation will profess faith in Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to the church in the next few years? Well, the church is already feeling the effects of that, our churches. That's why you see a drop-off in attendance among this age group. They see no need to go to church or even raise their children up in the church. And sadly, we find that the church has been affected. And I don't say that for numbers' sake, but I'm saying, when the church is affected, that means that the world of reaching out with the gospel is going to be affected. So what can dads do about this? Well, to put the question another way, what can a father do to promote the spiritual warfare of the home? Now, there's a lot that we cannot do to change society, but there's one thing that we can do. We can make sure that we can change our home, can't we? To the point to where God is honored and God is blessed. And there's one, all it takes, listen, as I've said many times before, all it takes is one generation to have no interest in God, to have no interest in church, and to where finally that it begins to kill the church. You look at England. I've never taken a trip over. How many of you have been there before? England? All right. What's it like? A lot of buildings over there, right? A lot of nice buildings that people used to worship in. I mean, cathedrals, places, but now they're museums. Why? Because nobody wants to show up to worship. Some of the greatest revivals, I've read books about some of the great revivals that have taken place in history, had taken place in places like England and that part of the world. And that's, by the way, that's how we've become a great nation. Some of those folks decide they're going to come over to America and they're going to help America get established to where we can have the freedom to worship. And thank God for that. We're going to celebrate our nation's birthday here in a few weeks, and we're still a great nation. Praise God for that. But the problem that we're seeing in our nation is that we're finding that it's not what it used to be. It's not what our forefathers had laid the groundwork for. But can it change? It can. It can be better. But with dads being dads, fathers being fathers. Well, what can a father do to promote spiritual warfare in the home? The first thing, if you're taking notes, fathers today need to improve on their own spiritual walk with God. By the way, if I'm pointing a finger at you and it seems like, boy, he's arrogant, please know I'm pointing two or three back at me, okay? So I don't want to sound like that I'm lecturing this morning, because I'm preaching what I feel that God has laid out here in this text this morning. We know that John the Baptist was a great influence. God used him greatly to be a forerunner of Christ. And we have to look at it in the same aspect that God uses fathers in the same aspect as a forerunner for the coming Savior. Listen, we're the ones who have to set the example in our walk with God. And fathers need to improve, I believe, today. I think we can all amen to that fathers today need to stand up and be real dads in the home when it comes to that spiritual walk with God. And by the way, the best way to strengthen a family's faith is to strengthen the faith of its father. But before faith can be strengthened, it must be possessed, right? Our faith in Christ must be genuine, and we need to communicate that to our children. Our children need to see that in our life, not just by verbal comments, but by example. That's why it's important for churches even to be constantly reaching young families. I don't want to be a church that says we're just going to reach folks my age and older. Thank God for the older folks in this church. Matter of fact, you're what's keeping our churches together, the older families in our church. Thank God for you and the work that you do. But yet, may God help us as a church to continue to have a vision to reach young families for Christ and to offer things. You know, we could do away with Vacation Bible School. We could do away with Children's Church or Sunday School and just have a Sunday School class for older families. But you know what? We need to teach this younger generation, don't we? It's important that we do that. I don't know how many kids we're going to have next week, but we're praying God send them our way, because that's the generation that's going to be the next church. As I tell our teenagers that, you are. You're the next generation. You're the next church and that's going to carry on the work of God. And it should be a desire of any church that has a heart for God to reach young families with children for the gospel's sake, so it can continue to carry on. You see, the term faith here is exclusively a reference to personal faith in Christ. We need to improve in this area of faith as dads. Now, first way that we look at, do you believe the gospel message? That's how you know what genuine faith is. Do you believe the gospel message that's found in God's Word? Jesus is the one and only sinless God. Do you believe that He died on Calvary in our place and He paid for your sin debt and mine? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. And then it says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. In Romans 6:23. In Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, that is that God proved, He demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess, just simply admit the fact that with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, here's the promise. What does God say? You shall be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One of the things that God, just kindly on my way to church this morning, I just was thanking God for as a dad, that God, thank you that 11 years old, you came into my heart to be my Savior. You saved me. Because, you know, none of us can be the dad that God would have us to be unless we know Jesus. Now, there's some good dads that may not know Jesus, but boy, there's nothing like raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord by knowing Jesus. You see, that's what it means to have faith in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. To strengthen a family's faith, it all begins with fathers. And I believe that. Now, that's the kind of preaching I say is not popular in the outside world today. But dads needs to know that we have a responsibility, and we do, that when it comes to strengthen the family's faith, we need to be examples and leaders in that way. And it begins with the father. And whatever spiritual changes need to take place in our household must begin in our hearts as dads. We must rededicate ourselves and to our families and for the glory of God. That means taking the lead that sometimes may not be comfortable. There's sometimes I just like my wife just to lead. I know that sounds bad, doesn't it? You know why we would say that as men? That way we don't have to assume responsibility. But that's not the way God designed men. That's not popular in the real world, but God has designed men to stand up and be leaders when it comes to your home. That's why the millennials were raised, many of them in that age group I told you, were raised without fathers. Because many of the fathers in that age group that I was telling you about has abandoned their family. Has not been there for their children. It's taken a mother, a wife, to stand in the gap to try to be mom and dad. But yet, obviously, that doesn't work that way. It's not easy at all. But there's a lot of ladies that have tried to do that. What's happened to the dad? Many cases, the dad has abandoned or didn't want to assume responsibility. But listen, as the Bible teaches, for dads who claim to know Christ as Savior, we must rededicate ourselves every day to the glory of God. That means taking the lead when it comes to spiritual matters. Wives should never have to drag their husbands out of bed to say, hey, let's go to church. Listen, dads ought to take the lead. Dad, matter of fact, your children will follow your lead. I've learned that. And in some cases, I've had to sit down and tell my kids, listen, there's some things you just don't want to do that dad's done. These things, that mistakes that I've made, don't do those. And I can tell that to them now. But yet hoping they'll learn it early, have learned some things early. But we realize sometimes raising children, they're not all going to turn out the way we want them to turn out. But God did say in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, granted, there's sometimes, even at times in their life, they may depart, but yet that training part is important. Because you see, early training helps to secure lifelong habits. And therefore, parents must insist upon this way by teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline consistently throughout the child's upbringing. My kids, and I'm sure some of you that are parents, you know what I'm talking about here. Our kids didn't understand some of the loving discipline that was provided to our children, but we look back and we're thankful that maybe some of those things kept them from Satan's attack or temptation. One thing I know about kids when they're sitting down in the pew, and when I went to junior camp a few weeks ago, I was thinking about, boy, some of the temptations that kids have to face on a daily basis. Satan wants your children. He wants our children, doesn't he? He would love nothing more than be able to get our teenagers and to get them off track. Much like he did with many of the millennial age group and has done. 4% statistically says out of that group, only 4% maybe have put their faith and trust in Christ. Oh, listen. Dads, our children follow our lead. The dad's role is not just an authority. My dad was authoritative. When I mean that, my dad laid down the rules. I knew what the rules were in the house. And my dad was, I thought at the time, my dad was mean. Sometimes my dad might whoop me. When I say whooping, I don't mean beating. I thought it was beating then. But sometimes my dad might just have to take my, listen, I'd much rather though get a spanking from my dad and my mom. Right, Paula? Chris, you know that. Chris is a grandson, got spanked by Mimi, is that what you call her? Meemaw. But my dad, he was an authoritative person. Some were raised up in a situation like that. But you know what? My dad was not only just that, he was an example. Not necessarily in the spiritual realm early on, because my dad didn't get saved early in life. He got saved in his later years. Matter of fact, my dad got saved. He was one of the first that got saved after I came to trust Christ. When he gave his heart to Jesus, he gave up his drinking. He gave up his smoke. He liked to smoke cigars. And it took him a little while to give up his cigars. In other words, he began to clean up some areas of his life to be an example when it comes to being a Christian. But now, my dad didn't know much about being a Christian. He wasn't taught, but it wasn't anything unusual to walk into his bedroom in the evening to watch my dad on his knees praying. Oh, it just blessed my heart. Now, I that didn't say much to me then, but as I look back and I reflect, and you know, that was an example. My dad taught me to pray. My dad taught me to pray. He was an authoritative person, authoritarian. I mean, he was the boss. He set an example. But that example didn't come till later when I needed it. Now, my dad was not what you would consider a real godly man. Some of you may be in that situation, but yet he strived. And maybe you live in a situation like that. Maybe you feel like, well, I'm not a perfect dad. Well, none of us are. But you know what? God would have us to be that person that's an example. We need to lead in such a way that children will follow our example. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Be you followers of me, even as I am also follower of Christ," Paul says. Now, what is Paul saying? Dads, we need to be followers of Christ. What does that mean? Paul says we need to be imitators of Christ. Do what Jesus would do. Where would Jesus be on a Sunday? Well, in this day and time, I believe Jesus would be in church preaching somewhere, don't you? So it's a good place to be on a Sunday. I would not expect to find Jesus hanging out at a bar anywhere. Just wouldn't expect that. When you say, "Be you followers of me, even as I am followers of Christ," Jesus is, I believe, saying that's where the example has to start with the dad. Fathers today need to not only set a spiritual example when it comes to their walk, but secondly, fathers today need to love and cherish their wife. Love and cherish their wife. Now, once again, it starts with the father. Dads, all the love in your household flows through your love for the woman that you're married to. More than anything else, what gives your children confidence is to face the world with the absolute certainty that you will always care for the mother of those children. Now, I submit to you that your love for her is as important to your children as your love for them. I always made it known to our kids, I love your mom more. And the reason I said that is because I want them to know how important she is. Now, when I say love, it was a different way of loving. I don't know how to explain that. And I explained to my children, I love your mom more because she came to my life first. But I would die for my family if need be. But it starts with my wife. We all have to improve upon that area of our life. Why? Because children learn what love is from the father's heart. Again, we must set the example for them. God has commanded husbands to love their wives. He says, matter of fact, in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and He gave Himself for it." How? Even as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, He loved the church sacrificially. Christ gave everything He had. What did He give? Well, He gave His life for the sake of the church, and that That same standard, by the way, is still works today for the father, the husband. The love a husband is to have for his wife is to be that example for the children. Our love as fathers is to be self-sacrificing, long-suffering. Our love for as fathers is to be unconditional, is to be genuine. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to all of us? His love was self-sacrificing. He came and gave of Himself for all of us. His love is long-suffering. It never ends. No matter how bad we've been mistreated sometimes, our love is unconditional. It's genuine. I know we live in a day and time where it's tough, and I'm not standing in judgment to those who may be going through a tough time in marriage or have been through that. But yet at the same time, we know that God is the one who sustains life, who sustains our marriages. And it's important that dads do the best job they can, fathers, and set an example for our children in that way. And then thirdly, fathers need today to provide for his family in all ways. Now that doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? Again, that's not popular preaching out in the world. But yet that's biblical. The importance of this is sometimes overlooked these days. But providing for the family, his family, the fathers, that's been given to the father as a God-given responsibility. Matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." In other words, he's worse than an unbeliever. So consider the ways fathers are to provide. First, they must spend time with the family. Boy, more dads need to spend time with their children today. I think we can all say that's necessary. Sometimes we know that we get involved in work and we get involved in other outside activities, hobbies and so forth. But how can a man love his wife and be the right kind of influence on his children if he's never at home? Matter of fact, I read where the average American dad spends only 14 minutes a day with his children. 14 minutes. I don't know how true. That may not be true in your home. Hopefully that's not. Hopefully there's more time you find yourself spending with your family, your children. But yet that's the average in society because there's so many things that's going on around us and so many things that rob us. But fathers should talk to their children. The Scripture teaches that. Have you read Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 and 7. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It says, when thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest down. The understanding here, we need to be fathers that spends time with our children. One of the most important things that we can do as dads is to find ourselves worshiping God together with our children. The best way to teach your children that knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. I'm thankful again that I had a Christian influence in my life. My dad was not able to teach me that because he wasn't saved at that time. But once I got saved and I became a dad, it became my obligation because I know better now. And for you dads that are saved, and you may not be actively involved in church as much as you like, but yet the obligation you have is to be that spiritual leader so that they have maybe what you have when it comes to salvation. It may sound a bit overworked or trite, but it's an eternal truth. Have you ever heard the statement, the family that prays together stays together? Boy, I used to hear that a lot. But it's a true statement. I believe that. Now, It's important that family gets there those times where we're able to, no matter what age your children may be, I still call up, and I'm sure you do as well, your children, and talk to them and pray for them. Hopefully that never ends. It's important. That means going to Bible teaching, going to Bible-believing church together, sitting together, and spending time in family worship together. I'm sure some of you enjoy spending time with your grandchildren. I know I could brag all day talking about how much time I love being my grandkids, but to listen to them pray or tell me some things about what they learned at church, boy, that's a joy. But more joy is just being able to be with them in God's church, worshiping together. Dad, your children need to see you read the Bible. Not just from the fact of doing it for show, but read it because it's something that will change your life. As I told you, what influenced my life mostly about my dad was to see him on his knees praying every day. Every day. Was he always the right kind of example? No. But boy, he strived to be an example. And you may not be always the right kind of example. I know I'm not always the right kind of example, but it ought to be that we strive to be that. How can a father promote the spiritual warfare of his family, welfare of his family and home? Well, improve his own spiritual walk with God. Love and cherish the wife, the mother of those children, and provide for his family in all the ways. You know, in retrospect, I know that I could have done a better job in every area of these that I mentioned. Because you know what? We all can. We all can. But it's not too late. It's not too late to begin. To start afresh. And maybe this morning there's some things that you just need to really get along with God about. Maybe later get along with the family. And I don't want you to feel like, boy, the preacher stepped on my toes for a purpose today. I don't know who needs it. I really don't. I don't know what goes on in your life, in your home. But God knows. And if God spoke to you about any matter in this message today, I pray that we'll obviously seek God's direction. Because, church, I'll just be honest. I'm tired of looking out, not necessarily in this church, but in this world, and seeing dads not willing to stand up and be dads. We live in a society today in America where fathers are not being taken on the responsibility of fatherhood. It may not be the case by many of you in this room that stood, and I don't believe it is, but there's a lot of things going on out in this world today that if real dads would stand up and be the example they need to be, then that would help change society for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's got to start with the church. Boy, this kind of preaching needs to go on in the church. Now, I'm not saying I'm the best preacher, but boy, we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded from time to time of my role, my responsibility, because Satan wants our children. He wants to destroy the church, and if he can start with the dad, he's going to do so. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.